Essay 15. I found the Little Dipper today. First time I've seen it since I was a kid. I've been living in cities all my adult life, all that light pollution. Some nights, it's even hard to find the Big Dipper. I've been getting up lately before dawn. Lots of days the last few weeks when I go out to get the paper, the sky is unusually clear. First thing I see is the cool three-planet dance among Venus, Mars, and Jupiter going on in the eastern sky. They are all there every day, but in a new, random, to me, arrangement with one another. Venus is so bright. How did I not know that? Then, off to the left of them, toward the north, the Big Dipper, bright, can't miss it. I've been using the usual technique to find the Little Dipper. Follow the trajectory of the two stars that form the bottom of the Big Dipper's dipper until you hit Polaris, then circle back down to locate the rest of the Little Dipper. Today it worked. It took a while looking up, blocking out with my hand a house light up the street, but there it was. What a sight. I have a balance disorder that makes it risky for me to look up into a dark sky for very long. Without nearby landmarks to orient me, my head starts to spin. That happened today. Usually, once I do that, it lasts for a while, that sense of disequilibrium, a few hours now, maybe a day or so. When this affliction first hit me about 25 years ago, it would be a month, maybe more, before my head cleared again. It gradually diminished over time to this minor penalty. I wish I didn't have to pay to see what I saw up there this morning, but at least I saw it. I'll try to remember that when I'm working to keep myself steady until I get back to balance. Because of this, my walk today was anything but normal. When I have these vestibular problems, I need to rely almost entirely on my vision to keep a steady path going forward. So I focus intently, head down about 5 to 10 feet ahead of while I'm walking. The up and down rhythm of my gait creates a kind of flip-flop book effect ahead of me, each step a separate photograph, followed by another and another. The faster I walk, the more seamless the sequence seems, so I walk fast when I can. This effect is amplified by the fact that I lose depth perception during these events, so everything looks flat and bland. From time to time, it will flicker on and off like a faulty electrical connection. That happened as I was heading up the first hill, looking down. All of a sudden, the leaves on the ground started leaping up and falling back like a pop-up book. When that happens, things become quite captivating to my attention. One thing, today it was an ordinary brown oak leaf, kind of large, will take over, as if it's the whole of the universe right there while I stare at it. That lasts only a second or two, of course, and then it recedes back into the wallpaper ground. But it's memorable. I can still see that leaf popping up in front of me as I write this. Since I was focused on the ground, all I saw was brown for the next mile or so. Then, as I turned a corner downhill, one of those moss-draped logs bathed in sunlight caught my eye off to the right. All that velvety, iridescent green, the only living thing on the bleak, leaf-littered sea. Given my perceptual disorientation and the vivid shade of green, I felt like I was bobbing in toward Ireland on a small boat on a wavy sea, this island of shamrock and emerald greens enchanting, inviting me in after a long journey home. That got me thinking about some of the songs I've been learning and recording lately, all dealing with the theme of home, which has been on my mind quite a lot. When Carol died, this place, all of it, house, town, workplace, people, all of it, suddenly was no longer home to me. It used to be where I am. That was just somewhere between where I was and where I'm going. So I keep thinking about homes past, the ones I felt connected to, or future, the ones I might again feel connected to. I got thinking about this specifically when I heard a snippet of a song in an Amazon.com ad, "I Was Born Under a Wandering Star." I knew I had heard it, so I Googled it. It was sung by Lee Marvin, of all people, in a movie called Paint Your Wagon back in the 1960s. That's where I must have heard it. My mother loved those big splashy movies back then. Music Man, Windjammer, that type. The CinemaScope ones or whatever the latest innovation in big screen technology happened to be. The town I grew up in, Forest City, Pennsylvania, had 2,000 inhabitants. But we had a big, pretty nice theater, at least back then. The actual Roxy of the great Roxy Theater in Times Square back in the 1920s, Samuel L. Rothfeld, began his career, opened his first theater in Forest City. You would think those two places, 150 miles apart, one in the middle of nowhere, one the center of the world, would be utterly disjointed from one another. But I know from stories my mother told us that back in the 20s, 30s, 40s, you could walk right down the hill a block from our house and get a train into New York. She used to take it to visit family or just have a good time. And it got you there faster than you could drive until well into the 1960s when the interstates were finished. Except those trains stopped running long before that. I have vague memories of the roofed platform itself, abandoned. A nice kind of craftsman-style structure painted green because we would play around it until they tore it down. Most likely, given the quality of my memories, before I was 6 or 7. In any case, I must have seen Paint Your Wagon and heard that song. It is fantastic. So hard-bitten, funny. It was the first home song I learned and recorded this fall. Here is the stanza that hooked me. Home is made for coming from, for dreams of going to, which, with any luck, will never come true. Think Lee Marvin singing that while he slogs across the plains with a wagon train, and you get the whole picture of that great song. I learned a bunch of others, some tearjerkers like Bobby Bear's 500 Miles, cultural ones like The Rivers of Babylon, rockers like Creedence Clearwater's Looking Out My Back Door, little breakup laments like Ry Cooder's Go Home, Girl, and the Left Bank's Walk Away, Renee. Just cool songs with home in them. I started doing this recording about 4 months after Carol died, for the reasons I list in another area on my website. The process has helped me enormously, as music often does when you are in distress or under duress. First, I did albums with all the songs I used to sing for Carol, a powerful catharsis. Then I'd key them to where my head was at right then. Just before the Home album, I did a West album, those great simple classics, Don't Fence Me In, Back in the Saddle Again, Let the Rest of the World Go By, those songs. Having grown up in the 1950s with The Lone Ranger, Hopalong Cassidy, Bat Masterson, the West has always been tuned to my longing for a simple, good world where a friend meets a friend and the only law is right. A place that's known to God alone, just a spot we can call our own. My kind of world. The one that doesn't exist anywhere specifically, of course, or does in small pieces almost everywhere, depending on the power of individuals to imagine it, embody it, enact it. A place where people work hard, are self-reliant, but mostly where they are straight up. They say what they mean and mean what they say. All the words tethered to something back where they came from, and then tethered again to the place they land. They promise something, and they intend to keep their promise. A falling leaf is a good analogy. It was connected to where it came from, grew up there over a long season of work, earned its standing in its community. Now it was headed down to keep its promise. To help get things going next spring. One leaf, one promise. Kept. Or 100, or thousands and thousands, if it gets cold enough and the wind blows hard enough. Like these essays, maybe. Way too many words, you might think. But it's fall, don't forget. My fall. They all have to come down. That's just how it works. When it's done, it will be done. Promises kept. The world I live in right now seems short on those values, to me at least. Words are not attached to anything before they emerge. They don't have any express ambition to land anywhere, and they don't intend to stay there for a while. It's a sweet deal, no real promises to keep. I don't like it. Never did. Never will. I've come to associate it with the East, maybe because that's where I've lived my life thus far. I've traveled out west, but never lived there. Maybe, probably, most likely, almost assuredly, it's no better, at least in the real places people have to inhabit now, this same culture. But in my head, it's still way better, a kind of Jack Palance paradise, especially all those characters he played when he got older. Curly in City Slickers, and my favorite, Rudy, the ex-Hollywood set designer in Baghdad Cafe, living in his little trailer out in the desert, making those garishly beautiful paintings, hardly ever talking. That's my retirement dream right there, alone, lovingly taciturn, out west, where balance is firm, depth is constant, the path unwavering, letting the rest of the world go by. And so dark, you can always find the Little Dipper.